The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the 150th episode. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Ryan Pills.
Jonah Dew.
And Katie Pills.
In the house!
Wow, 150.
How can that be?
I don't even...
Crazy.
I can't even comprehend. It's amazing.
That's almost 3 years, but we're not at a three-year mark yet.
Okay, we'll have to celebrate something.
It'll be like 156, I guess, right?
Math. I don't know.
Because 52 weeks in a year?
Yes, 156.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job, smart people.
It's basically 50 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2. So.
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
So, yeah, help you out.
Yeah, thank you. I remember we celebrated our 100th episode. I don't know that we have any huge plans for 150, but I definitely think 200 and or 3 years.
We should bring some guests on for 200.
Got to do something cool for sure. Cool. We should go back and listen to our first episode, which might be scary. I don't know. See what moments we can relive from the excitement of a year and a half ago. Well, we've had a lot of exciting things going on recently. We just finished up our Kickstarter. I guess it'll be like 2 weeks ago now by the time that you listen to this. And man, really, really fantastic. Exciting ride. I loved our two-hour Saturday morning board game special where we finished out the entire campaign together. If you haven't seen that, go back and watch it because we were having a ball. We did a couple giveaways. It's probably too late for you to be excited about those, but we wrapped up the campaign. We hit a 200% goal, so thank you guys, because I'm sure if you listen to us, you probably found some cool things to back on there. I know Sarah and Kevin have been working on our pledge manager. We're using GameFound, which is pretty exciting. And
it should be live the week that you're listening to this.
Perfect. So if you are a backer, you can go lock in the promo cards and things that you want to get. If you are not, if you didn't back, then we'll give you some information sometime soon about some late pledge options for you. But so the Kickstarter, fantastic. Very exciting.
GameFound.com is where you go.
Is there like a forward slash Tantrum House?
Or? We'll have to find that out because it's not live yet.
Okay. So. We'll let you know soon.
But you can probably go to GameFound.com and search Tantrum House.
Yeah. So I know that we've had an opportunity to play some games recently. I'm sure you guys did as well. Who wants to start talking about the game playings?
Well, Kevin and I had a run-in with those meddling kids from Mystery Inc.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo?
Yes.
That was a terrible impression.
It really was.
Jinkies.
Jeepers.
Yeah. Those were better.
Were they, though?
So we played, there's actually several Scooby-Doo games coming out. The one that we played is Scooby-Doo Escape from the Haunted Mansion from the Op. It's a Coded Chronicles game.
It's basically an escape game, and it's got the Scooby-Doo theme on it.
Mm-hmm. So it had two chapters. Each chapter is about an hour, so about 2 hours worth of gameplay. Cooperative, you're trapped in this haunted mansion using the different skills of the members of Mystery Inc. to solve puzzles, things like that, figure out who the ghost was.
It wasn't really a ghost. Wasn't like a supernatural
game.
Can't
tell you any of the
like
surprises, yeah.
Old man Jenkins.
Right?
So the interesting thing about this, it is co-op, but not you aren't a specific character. It's not like I'm Velma or I'm Fred or whatever like that. It's basically the whole team, every player is basically working together to be like, well, Velma should do that. Because sometimes, I won't spoil too much, but basically not all the characters are in the Haunted Mansion at the same time or in the same room. So if you were a character, then you would feel sort of left out if you weren't in there. So the cool thing is they have these books that you're reading from to progress the story based on how you or what you're interacting with, basically.
Yeah. Most episodes, Scooby and Shaggy go off to find food.
Well, you got
to
be separate.
Well, they have to get
always
separate.
Let's talk about this.
Each character has a special ability or talent. Shaggy's talent is eating.
Yep.
Nice.
Scooby's is smelling. Then you have like normal things like research for Velma.
Scooby. Normal things like research for Scooby.
Fred investigates.
Yep. And Daphne uses things. So like
she's a user.
She's a user. That's going down so fast. Wow. She could like use whatever. Like say there's a pair of scissors there. She could use those for to do something like cutting the yarn or whatever.
Yeah. I was going to ask. Is it like a destructive game? Is it replayable?
No, so we could actually pack it all up and put all the envelopes back together and send it to you guys, and you guys could play it. Yep. It's just like the unlocks. That would be similar, but it's definitely a bigger type of game because there's things that you're opening up and things like that. So
yeah. So you're actually finding new components and stuff like that. So it's not just cards. There is no app, though. It's the booklets that you're reading, the pieces of the mansion that you're putting out, and then figuring out which characters should interact with which objects, because, you know, if you have Shaggy try to eat a door, that's probably not
something
the best
he would
idea.
Do.
No.
But it's not going to usually give you anything helpful. So we enjoyed it.
What about you guys?
Well, the last game night we had the opportunity to bust a couple of party games out onto the table. I know we played Sushi Go Party, actually a party game.
Yes.
I really enjoy the base game. I don't have the party game. I think Ryan brought it with him. Tell us why you enjoy Sushi Go Party.
Because it's a great party game. No, I brought over a bunch of games I wanted to play because it was my birthday at the time. And
happy birthday, Ryan!
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
Everyone guess how old he is.
Already know. Listening audience can make some guesses.
Yep, there you go.
So you enjoyed that game?
That was probably right, yeah. So I brought over, I don't know, like 10 games maybe. In
he used
my
his
big,
expando, yeah.
Big Tantrum House expandable bag that we got. And so we ended up playing the party games for the larger groups. So we played the Sushi Go Party, which is always fun, especially since it's you randomly draw what decks you're going to play with. So it's every game is going to be different. But that also means you have to learn how to actually score. My poor dad, he doesn't play a lot of games with us, and he just couldn't get, I forget what it was called. It's like the
veal?
Yeah,
oh, the tamaki.
Tamaki or something. Yeah. If you have the most, you get 4 points. But if you have the least, you get -4, which means every round, -4 points down. There you go.
Yeah, he never kept any those cards.
I had never played with that one either, and it was interesting because you're like, oh, I'm probably not going to get the most, but, oh, Randy doesn't have any, so I think I'm okay with just one.
Yeah. And he kept feeding you those dumplings.
That was nice.
Made
Thank
all sorts
you.
Of points. Yeah.
But then I had to rotate the other way, and then Sarah was not feeding me anything I wanted, so.
That's right.
Can't sit next to Sarah.
Got
to
keep it and play sushi a little fair.
And then we got a game of the, what is it called? Game of the Wolf?
Game
Something
of
like
Wolf.
That. Game
of Wolf.
We didn't get to play through the whole thing, but we did play one round of it, and it was a lot of fun. It's very simple
trivia game.
We had a bunch
of game. Players, though.
Right.
Yeah.
One round was 9 different turns.
Yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
And although Ryan's dad didn't do well at Sushi Party,
Sushi Go
Party.
Oh, yeah, he did
he
rock
was,
it at.
Yeah. He was
well,
the one you wanted on your
team.
That's
part of why I brought it.
Because
I was like, if I can trick my dad into playing a game, it's this game. Because it's trivia.
It's a trivia game.
And he was
game.
Like a desirable person to pack with.
Right.
Instead of
Because in that
wolfing.
Game, you can either pick to answer all the questions yourself against everybody else, or you can pick somebody else to join your pack, and then it's like two of you versus everyone else, and it is general trivia questions. Yeah, he did great on football stadium locations or whatever that was.
I don't think anybody
Geography.
Lone wolfed, which I was a little
I
surprised.
Valerie,
I
yeah,
had
you,
the opportunity, and it was like Disney
villains. Or
Disney
something.
Villains. I was like, I'll pair with Chantel because I know she knows all the Disney games. Or Disney movies, and then we didn't even end up.
And that was a weird one because everybody knew all of the answers, and we got the tiebreaker question exactly right on both teams.
Yeah.
So we're like,
the rules don't account for a tie. They expect the tiebreaker to break it.
Mm, we knew
whoops.
Too much about Disney.
Yeah.
They knew too much. Jonah was rocking it on NCAA teams or something like that. I can't remember what.
I kept pairing with Randy. So we were in the lead all the way to like the last round.
Yeah.
So
I think it was like a 6 or 7 way tie
of 4 points each.
That's a good time to quit when everybody's tired.
Well, well, I tried to
except for me. I think I lost. Yeah.
But in the end, Ryan picked me as his game buddy.
I think you did the math. Admit it. You did the math. You're like, me and Katie could win if we win.
I thought I could probably lone wolf it, but I wanted to share the win with Katie. And actually, I wouldn't have succeeded.
Yeah, she did answer.
She pulled it through for me.
Cool. Yeah.
Way to go, the perfect team. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what marriage is about, Katie.
Right.
It's about answering your husband's questions.
To win games.
To win games, yeah.
Restoration.
He wants to do that on games that aren't co-op games, though. I'm like, well, I'm not just beating you regardless. You need to win the game. Together. I'm going to try to win, too.
Got to figure that one out.
Restoration Games just sent us a unmatched new edition called Cobble and Fog. Have any of you familiar with the Unmatched series? It's basically...
I've seen the logo.
It's basically these fantasy characters, and everyone's an asymmetric, has an asymmetric deck, and you're basically fighting your opponent, and it can be either, it can be played 1v1, or it can be played like 2v2, or if you're going to play 1 versus 2, you're basically, the one person is controlling two characters. But the game that we just got from them for the Unmatched series is Cobble and Fog. Can you guys guess any of the fantasy characters that were in there in that box? So
are these like copyrighted fantasy characters or just general?
Hercules.
Nope, not Hercules. But like Robin Hood, Alice in Wonderland, those would be examples.
I'm just going for non-copyrighted. Oh. Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes is one of them. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. Yep.
Jekyll and Hyde.
That is another one.
Oh, that was what I was going
to
say.
Who wants to give me money? What else? That's all I got, those two.
There's two more. Like, in the box.
Frankenstein?
Oh, that is another good guess. I would have guessed that one, but it's not.
But it's wrong.
Are they all humans? Is there like that frog?
No, these are all human-like.
Is it Dracula?
Dracula is the third one.
Oh, yeah, I got one.
And the last one you probably won't guess.
Oh, maybe think League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I know, that's what I was thinking. Okay. Like,
it started sounding
Dorian Gray?
No, nope.
Eight ball face guy.
I don't know what it is.
The Invisible Man?
It is. That's the fourth one. Oh. Good job, Katie. Oh,
two. I got two of them.
Good job. Yes.
We tied.
So those are the four characters, Sherlock Holmes, Dracula, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and the Invisible Man. And I have played all four characters on four separate games, and they are... Every single one, they have basically a deck of cards, and they are very thematic to the character. So, like, the Invisible Man, like, there's a card...
Doesn't even have cards?
He's got cards, but, like, there's a card that, like, lets him come off the board. So you can't even, like, attack him because he's not even there. Like, it's kind of cool, things like that. Sherlock Holmes has Dr. Watson, so he actually has an extra piece, like a
sidekick.
A sidekick, then he can move him around and hit players and stuff like that. And Dr. Watson's powerful because he actually has a revolver. He can actually shoot a ranged weapon, which most of the characters, at least in this game, you have to be right next to each other to actually, like, melee each other.
So is Dr. Watson, like, buff military veteran Dr. Watson or bumbling idiot Dr. Watson?
Yeah, definitely more buff.
Cool.
Yeah, he's got... I mean, people were going after him, so... Melissa was able to play... you played the Invisible Man?
I played the Invisible Man, and I played Sherlock and Watson. I think I like Sherlock and Watson a little bit better. There's actually a little bit of a deduction-ish aspect to his deck.
There's a card.
Because there are cards that say, basically... Say a value, and your opponent has to discard a card of that value. Well, you also have cards that let you look at your opponent's hand. So if you can combo those and look at their hand and see what they have, and then be like, and now you need to discard such and such card. Yeah. That can work really well.
I also like Sherlock Holmes. I think that probably was one of my favorite characters. I just like that theme. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde is interesting because he has Mr. Hyde cards and Dr. Jekyll cards. And if you are... in Mr. Hyde, you have this token that basically you're flipping back and forth. If you're in the form of Mr. Hyde, you cannot play Dr. Jekyll cards. So that's kind of interesting, trying to figure that out. And then the Dracula figure has these like sister tokens that are around him. So he's basically protecting himself from from getting hit because he's got these other tokens. So
cool stuff. I did get to play one other game this week, and I'm surprised Sarah didn't bring it up. I actually don't remember what it's called, though. It's a new one from Haba, and it's like a... who can get their fire hose untangled the fastest? I don't remember what it's called. It's called something like Super Fire Hose or something. And it's basically like Galaxy Trucker for kids. That's pretty cool. You have like a straight line. You're trying to connect the hose and get it all lined up as fast as you can in three rounds. And I think we played it with Xander. He did great at it. I think he tied with
Xander's
me.
Xander's seven, yeah.
And then Sarah, of course, crushed our souls and spirits. But other than that, really, really neat, simple game that would be a super perfect introductory for kids. And then you could step it up to Galaxy Trucker after that. It's way simpler than Galaxy Trucker, but so speed, dexterity.
I have to ask then, Will, if Sarah did so much better, does that really mean Xander did great, or does that mean you just did really bad?
It means Will did really bad.
Yeah, you know, either one of those could be decipherable as a result of that conversation.
Well, the nice thing is, if you're an adult playing with kids, you can change the difficulty level so that you have to place more tiles before the kids do. But even with Will set at the easier level and me placed at the most difficult level, I still would win.
Yeah, I think I still tied her, even though I had to lay four fewer tiles. Not even fair. All right, well, I think we're ready to jump from here into the news.
Today in the news, Sarah is going to start us off.
This October, Funko Games is bringing Groundhog Day the game to retail. This is based on the popular movie and is a 2-6 player game, and it will be coming out in October. Kevin.
Over to Melissa.
So I have some news that is out of this world. So Space Cowboys is bringing a new unlock game, which isn't all that, you know,
unlocks
surprising.
Are exciting.
It's out of this world.
But the theme is Star Wars. So this is Star Wars Escape Game. It's going to have three games in it featuring ships, droids, and action. And it is supposed to be coming out in late August, both in Europe and the U.S.
I was kind of hoping for, like, a trash chute.
I was going to say, there's got to be a
recycling chamber. It does sound cool. I did see this on social media. It looked pretty neat.
Another item in the news is Ludonaut has announced a game called Lost Explorers. This game is where you're discovering a lost world. You have left clues all around the planet to help others find the secret entrance, and you decide to follow their traces, but you're not the only one on the trail, so think carefully about your tactics and be the first to gather the five major clues. I'm really interested in this game. This game is for 2-4 players. It says it takes about 35 minutes to play, which sounds pretty cool too, since it plays fast, but I'm really interested in it because it is from the same designer of my favorite game of all time, Lewis and Clark. And it sort of has that same feel to it, and even says there's this like transportation and stuff like that going on, and there is like that transportation in Lewis and Clark as you're going up through the river and mountain. So I wonder if there's any like similar mechanics. I don't know, but I am definitely interested in Lost Explorers. Today in the news, Sarah's going to start us off.
Groundhog Day will be coming to retail from Funko Games.
Love it!
In October.
Oh, good stuff. All right, excellent. Fun times. Well, let's jump from here into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about three games coming June 29th, that week of June 29th, 2020. Most of these will be happening on the 30th or later in that first week of July. Will, start us off.
I'm looking at Catapult Kingdoms from Vesuvius Media from designer Kristen Fosh and Damian Mamaliti. Sweet action last name. This is actually a dexterity game that is for 2-4 players. In the game, you've got all kinds of super cool components. It's actually like literally you can play this on the ground or a huge table. You have physical catapults that you'll be setting up, attempting to destroy one another's territory. The players have different characters that they will be trying to set up strategically behind walls and hidden across the board so that they can protect them, because in the game, players will actually be launching catapult balls at each other, trying to knock each other's characters over, and it's a last man standing game, so the winner will be whoever is able to knock out the other team.
Are they like wood components?
They are plastic, and they are very cool. Like, you definitely need to take a look at them. You've got cardboard, like, flat art areas that you build your kingdom on. So you have like a specific area that you have to build it in. And then you've got all these different cinder blocky looking components. And then several actual plastic boulders that you're launching at each other. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes to play. It's definitely a light, fun dexterity game. We will have a preview video of this before the Kickstarter launch, so you can take a look at it if you want to. But super fun playing this with the boys. You know, the strategy is barricade your people in as much as you can so you don't get them knocked over, but just lots of fun, lighthearted goodness, and really, really cool art, really neat components. Seems pretty durable. I don't know if we have a pre-press copy or a prototype. I'm not sure which one it is, but the pieces for it are just tons and tons of fun. All fits into a nice little box, or a nice big box. But check out Catapult Kingdoms from Vesuvius Media, coming to Kickstarter soon. Jonah, what game are you looking at?
Yep, so coming to Kickstarter on July 5th is Knights of Northrend from S&D Games. This is a last man standing kind of card game, but it's a party game, card game. It's built on the rock, paper, scissors concept, but instead of rock, paper, scissors, you're using swords. What I don't know what a sword is. Swords, shields.
It's a short sword.
Yeah, and arrows. Mm-hmm. And so basically you've got a hand of cards. You've also got some gems. You play your card in the middle, kind of everybody simultaneously. And if you lose to any other person, you have to discard some gems back to the box, back to the middle. And basically it's last man standing to win. The cool component to this game is that you've got some scroll cards, which can also be kind of mixed in your hand and with everybody, that basically give you special abilities. It's going to make you be able to play an extra weapon or double up on the damage you do to another person or something like that. So it's for 2 to 6 players. It really probably plays realistically like 10 minutes, 20 minutes. It's real quick, party game, fun. We've got a preview video coming out to support their Kickstarter. And again, that's coming on July 5th from S&D Games.
Schwartz.
Katie, what do you have?
All right, so I am taking a look at Houston, We Have a Dolphin.
What?
It sounds really goofy, and it's actually a pretty humorous game. The idea is that there are teams of astronauts out working on their spaceship, but there is a hidden dolphin among them. The humorous part is you should be able to figure out who is a dolphin.
It's always hard for me to tell.
I'm kind of thinking of the Brian Regan zipper.
The evil dolphin. That is a great one. Spilling oil.
This is a hidden traitor mechanic type game. It's got a lot of bluffing, and it's also doing some hidden movement, and there's going to be voting. So each player is going to have a team of astronauts that they're using to try to work on the spaceship. And they all have, like, these different abilities. And you're trying to match up cards to get things done on the outside of the ship. But you're having to match them up, not knowing what anybody else is going to play, and hoping that you're going to be accomplishing these things. And then, of course, secretly, there is a dolphin amongst the group that is trying to fill the spaceship with water.
Water.
Wow. Yeah. Space. That'd be good for the dolphin.
Yes, it would. So it sounds like it's just really funny and fun. It sounds like you could have a lot of fun playing this. There are two different phases. There's the phase where they're doing the spacewalks in an attempt to fix the ship with the cards, and then there's also the captain's command side where you're the captain's like attempting to maybe vote off somebody he thinks might be a dolphin, but then they could backstab the captain and say, never mind, mutiny, we're taking over, we're kicking you out instead. Anyway, so it is specifically designed for 3 to 5 players, and it is, let's see, what does it say? It's going to be maybe a 20 to 40 minute game.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. So that is Houston, We Have a Dolphin.
I feel like that is a topic that definitely needs to be further explored, because I feel like the dolphin is the perfect space animal, right? Like, they breathe air. I think you could just put some rockets on them. They could be, like, super agile in space.
Well, it's so random, Will. Aliens.
Right? That's true. I do remember that. I feel like I just want to see what a dolphin in space looks like. It would be awesome.
Wait, we do have one more. I know Sarah said three Kickstarters, but I forgot we have one more Kickstarter to talk about. We have a house guest, and we're going to be welcoming Georgina from Holy Grail Games, and we're going to talk about Rallyman Dirt. Let's welcome her to the house.
Hey!
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, we would love to hear more about Holy Grail Games. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we have some exciting things to talk about.
So we are a small board game publisher, actually based in France. So we are a team of just four people. We started late 2016, so we've been going for a couple of years now. We're most well known for our project Museum. And then
it's amazing. I love Museum.
Oh, so much. Although, yeah, that was the first sort of big project that we ever did. So it was really exciting for us. And then since then, we've also done Dominations, Road to Civilization, which is our big sort of Civ game. And then earlier this year, we also released Rallyman GT.
Very cool. So Rallyman GT came out, or it was Kickstarted, was it a year or two ago?
A year ago,
and then it's probably coming into sort of retail and things like that. So that's great. Tell me a little bit about Rallyman GT.
So Rallyman GT is quite an iconic game in France. It actually comes from the original game is just called Rallyman, and that originally came out in 2009. So Rallyman GT is sort of a re-implementation of Rallyman. Because the original Rallyman game was a pure rally game, as the name would suggest.
Okay.
So Rallyman GT kind of readapts that concept into a racing context, so allowing for multiplayer, because rally racing is generally a solo thing. So, Rallyman GT is a roll and move racing game for 1 to 6 players. So the idea is you have a certain amount of dice numbered from 1 to 6. They represent the gears of your car, and you have to roll them to move around the track. It's kind of a risk management game because basically each die has a certain number of warning symbols on it. And if you get too many warning symbols, then you're going to have an accident and spin off the track. So
that's not good.
No, it's very
but it is fun.
Yeah, it's great fun. It's very much a sort of how far do I dare push it kind of game, which is great fun when you're playing with your friends and everyone's yelling and everyone's trying to egg you on to get you to go just that little bit further and then you crash. So, yeah.
So, Rallyman GT, you said Kickstarted, is now retail, and now you're bringing another sort of standalone game in the same series to Kickstarter July 2nd. Yes. And that's called Rallyman Dirt or Rallyman GT Dirt. Tell me a little bit more about this.
So, like I was saying, it can get a little bit confusing, but the original Rallyman.
I will tell you, I was a little confused.
So Rallyman Dirt is the game that we're bringing out on Kickstarter on July 2nd. And it is a re-implementation of the original Rallyman game from 2009. So this time it is a pure rally racing game as opposed to Rallyman GT, which is a GT racing game. So it's a standalone game. You are up against, it's very similar in terms of looks. We've tried to keep it that way so that they very much look like games from the same range. You're using the same little plastic cars. Obviously, the models will be different. The hexagonal tiles stay the same. But it really has a different kind of play feel to it because whereas in Rallyman GT, you're really up against the other players. In Rallyman Dirt, it's really sort of you versus the track. You have a lot more sort of driving mechanics that you can play around with. You can drift, you can skid, you can jump over bumps, you can take shortcuts. So it's very much a sort of a strategic driving game where you're trying to get the best time you can around the track as opposed to just trying to directly beat everybody else.
Cool. So when you're talking about Rallyman GT and Rallyman Dirt, is there any connect? Like, I know there's the theme, a lot of connection to the theme, but is there any components or anything that people can transfer over from one to the other, or are they pretty much two separate games?
So they are two separate games. However, we're going to do an expansion called Rallycross that will actually allow you to combine the two.
What?
So, yeah. So this is actually a thing. So I know nothing about motorsports. But the author the author of the game, Jean-Christophe Bouvier, is an absolute petrol head driving fanatic. He's actually a rally driver himself.
No way. That's cool to hear.
Yeah. Wow. And he was actually a rally driver before he even knew anything about board games. And one day he just decided that he wanted to create a board game that reflected his passion. And that's what he did. And so every time we have him on the phone about sort of developing new things for the game, we end up learning an awful lot about rally, sometimes more than we wanted to. so yeah, Rallycross is an actual thing in the motorsports world, where you know, you start on a rally track and then you can finish on sort of an asphalt track. So yeah, the idea was to really sort of copy that notion of Rallycross driving, so that this expansion will allow you to combine the two games, so you can have these sort of immense tracks made up of like half dirt rally tracks and half sort of asphalt proper GT tracks.
I love the artwork in Rallyman GT. And is it the same artist and illustrator for Rallyman Dirt?
Yes, it is. So the very talented Loic Mouzy, who is a French artist, he's pretty well known for his works on Cthulhu, all things Lovecraft. And
this is not Cthulhu, though. There's no Cthulhu in Rallyman.
there is absolutely none. It's kind of a running joke that pretty much every Kickstarter that comes out at the moment has some kind of sort of
right?
Cthulhu throw in.
Right. I'm hoping there's no stretch goal for Cthulhu.
No, there is. There's going to be no Cthulhu in Rallyman.
Okay.
But yeah, he decided that he would try his hand at cars. He did an absolutely fantastic job. He came back again to do the cover art for us for Rallyman Dirt, as well as a good number of the illustrations as well. So yeah, fantastic work by Loic.
Yeah, it just has like really cool lines and movement and colors, and just like it really evokes that motorsport theme to it. I really, really dig it.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's what we were going for. So, yeah, just to make it look cool, really. And it does. It looks pretty cool.
Tell me a little bit more about the Kickstarter campaign. I know it launches July 2nd. What can people expect in the campaign?
So in the campaign, obviously you'll be able to get Rallyman Dirt. We are going to be doing a system of daily unlocks. So instead of doing sort of stretch goals, we're going to just be unlocking some new content every day.
Cool. So bring people back, get them engaged. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got lots of cool stuff planned. We also have a couple of expansions that we'll be bringing out during the campaign. Anybody who backs during the Kickstarter will actually be getting a free expansion included in their pledge. So that's
cool.
That's something we previously did for GT as well.
Okay.
GT is also coming back to this campaign.
So if you missed it the first time, here's the time to get it. All right. That's good.
Yeah. The response to GT has been absolutely amazing. We're so happy. We actually put the game on Board Game Arena about 4 weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
Since we uploaded it to Board Game Arena, it's been played 95,000 times.
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, for a game that has only sort of been out for a few months, we're absolutely over the moon with how well it's been received.
Cool. And well, hopefully that will translate into some more sales for the game itself.
We certainly hope so. Well, the Rallyman community are really passionate people. We've had this really sort of intense competitive community sort of pop up around the game ever since it's been released. And we have like monthly competitions going on, these sort of constant online championships happening. We have a newsletter that goes out every month, people offering new rules, people offering new track designs. So yeah, it's something that people are getting really involved in, and we're so happy to be seeing that happening, obviously, because it's our baby.
So Holy Grail Games has done a number of Kickstarters. Like we said, you were mentioning the museum and nominations and things like that. And a lot of our listeners are always interested in sort of like the behind the scenes of creating content and, you know, publishing board games. Tell us some of the lessons, maybe one lesson. I know there's probably many lessons, but tell us a lesson that you've learned that might be of interest to our listeners.
Oh, wow. There are many. I could talk about the challenges of Kickstarter all night. I think that the thing that really really tends to strike me every time we do a Kickstarter is it never goes how you expect. So it really is expect the unexpected. A model that will work for one game will not always work for another. However well prepared you are or you think you are, you really have to be prepared to kind of jump into the middle of a project in full swing and listen to what your backers are telling you and readjust. Which, you know, as a very small company, that's always been something that we've been able to do. We were getting a lot of feedback about stretch goals, for example, and how some people weren't really enjoying the idea of sort of having to constantly push for more money before they could get more stuffs, which is why we have now transitioned to the notion of doing daily unlocks instead.
That's so cool. That's good, really good feedback. That's like you're listening to the community. That's really good.
Yeah, we do our best. I mean, obviously, it's not always possible, but when we can, we do, because in the end, you know, that's what crowdfunding is all about. It's about the crowds. So, it's always good to listen to the feedback that you get given, and when you can listen to it, especially when a lot of people are all saying the same thing, then yeah, you kind of have to listen to it. So that's what we've done, and it's sort of just adapting our model over the years to make sure we sort of suit as many people as possible.
Cool. Georgina, it's been great having you on the show. I hope, as we talked about crowdfunding, I hope lots of crowds come to check out Rallyman Dirt on July 2nd and that you fund quickly and you have a great campaign. And like you had just mentioned, if people are interested in playing it and they don't have a copy right now, they could go to Board Game Arena and check it out, Rallyman yes. GT at least. So that's a great little plug there for that. Oh. And they could see if that's something that would interest them. And definitely check out the campaign for Rallyman Dirt and all the other cool Rallyman things that are part of that campaign. So that's good. Thanks again, Georgina. Tell us, as we say goodbye, where people can find out more information about Holy Grail Games.
So you can find out more at holygrail.games, all our upcoming projects and all of our current ones, and where you can find us on social media.
Great. Thank you, Georgina. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks very much.
Bye. It was great having Georgina on the show, and really looking forward to Rallyman Dirt. And if you actually stay tuned on our YouTube channel, you can watch us play the Rallyman GT game, and that will be, I believe, July 2nd in the evening, and we'll play that game. We have a quick shout out to our sponsor. One of our sponsors is Bezier Games, and they wanted us to let you all know about an upcoming Kickstarter campaign that they are running for Ultimate Werewolf Extreme. That will be coming in August, and we will have more information about that in the coming weeks and months, and hopefully we'll have Ted on the show, and he can talk about that as well. Why don't we move into our Mad Meeple segment.
Mike Davis is the Mad Meeple. Now it's time for why he loves it and hates it.
Hello, this is Mike Davis from the Game and Party Podcast, and this is the Mad Meeple segment. Today we talk about the game Banned Words. Banned Words plays from 4 to 99 players, is for ages 12 and up, and plays at about 30 minutes. It's a game where you've got to give clues without saying the banned words. And the publisher is Wonder Forge. And now, I'd like to share with you why I love this game. The first reason I love Banned Words is it's a great group game. You can write down words, or you can be the clue giver. There's not a lot of pressure in the game, it's just a great party game. The second reason I love Banned Words is it makes you feel so clever. Whether you're coming up with the words that your other team hits, or you're avoiding those words. You feel clever in either situation. And the third reason I love Banned Words is when you get all of the words correct for your team and you don't hit a single banned word, you feel oh so good. It's so satisfying. And now I'd like to share with you why I hate this game. The first reason I hate Banned Words is if someone on your team screws up, everybody knows it. You could be the one that loses it for your team, and there's no hiding it. The second reason I hate banned words is second guessing. Yes, people will write words they think, and then they'll erase, and they'll write again, and they'll erase and write again, and you're like, just write the words that first come to your mind, and then you end up with blank boards and missing words. And the third reason I hate banned words is you can lose it for your team in one round. You could be well ahead in points, but then you get up and you hit 10 of the banned words in one round and just lose it for your team. You would have been better off just not saying anything at all. And that's it, guys. That's why I love and why I hate banned words. You've been listening to the Mad Meeple, Mike Davis.
I haven't had a chance to play banned words yet. It sounds a little bit like Trap Words, maybe, from CGE.
Yeah.
Had to give that one a shot. I do enjoy a good Trap Words game, so...
Now, I will admit, every time I hear it, I think B-A-N-D, like banned words, instead of like words that have been banned.
I definitely thought the same thing.
Is it B-A-N-N-E-D? Is it B-A-N-N-E-D?
Yeah, double N-E-D.
Oh, I thought it was banned words the whole time. Like really? Rubber band.
Like, oh, like I was thinking like
marching
trumpet,
band,
yeah. Tuba.
Flugelhorn.
Oh, Ryan and I, we synced it up on tuba.
Good job.
I feel like we should probably play a game of Medium right now.
Let's do it. What was the most recent one? Well, you remember what that was, Melissa, for Medium?
Oh, because they do it on their website. On Twitter.
They do it on Twitter every day. They just pick two cards.
Dragon and Musician.
Ooh, yeah. I got one. Melissa and I synced up on this
dragon
one.
Dragon Musician.
What's your Dragon Musician sync?
I got nothing. I feel like I would say something from Shrek, but I don't know.
Nothing? Nothing's coming to you?
I got nothing.
No, one.
Imagine.
Two. Three.
Scales.
Other
people on Twitter were saying things like bard.
Minstrel.
Minstrel.
I did think bard.
You should have said it.
But dragon, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what.
Like imagine
tasty
dragons.
Minstrel. They eat them.
Someone said horn, but I was like, dragons, I know they have horns, but isn't that, like, that's not what they're known for. But they are known for scales.
I like it. Just to be on board with
that. That is pretty good.
Do we know if that was the actual thing?
That was the...
How can there be an actual?
Because they get to choose.
They get to choose?
Yeah. The company actually says...
Do
this
they
is
pre-write
the...
it? They need to pre-write it. Otherwise, it doesn't
I think
matter.
They do have one in mind when they post the two cards. Because they have had one that they did not meld with any of the people who answered.
That's pretty hilarious. Well, fun stuff. We've got some neat things coming up. We will be making our plans for our 24-hour game-a-thon. We don't have dates set yet, but we've been talking about things. We have gotten some new equipment. We got a new lens. So Jonah and Chantel will be doing some new reviews from their house. So there should be lots of fun stuff there. And we've got some batteries still on order that we're hoping to get really soon. And then we'll just be trying to put together our plans. I think we need to get a list out, like either a nominate and vote for what games you want us to play, or like narrow down this giant list that we've put together. We definitely hope you guys will tune in whenever we do that. But coming up in the next couple weeks, we also have some meetings. We are having some tough conversations. So in regards to TantrumCon 2021, TantrumCon 2020, best convention of the year. Don't forget that. We are trying to figure out how we're going to pull off next year's event, considering everything that's going on. So trying to make some big plans for that, but we'll have more news on that as well soon. We would love to hear from you guys if that's something that you are definitely interested in and planning to come to in January, February 2021. Give us that shout out because we'd love to know as we put together our plans for it. I think that pretty much wraps up our episode, though. Thank you guys so much for being here and hanging out and having lots of fun. Hope you all that are listening are doing the same thing. Stay healthy, have some fun, play some board games. Talk to you guys next time.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.